The Murray State Basketball Podcast is brought to you by the Murray Flower Company. If you're in Callaway County and need flowers, the best place to go is the Murray Flower Company. Whether you're celebrating a new arrival, the life of a loved one, or any point in between, the Murray Flower Company has you covered. Visit them on the square in Murray at 403 Maple Street or online at murrayflowercompany.com. Happy Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Murray State Basketball Podcast as the Philadelphia Eagles have advanced to the NFC Championship. The Murray State Racers, 82-73 winners over Indiana State last night at the bank, as is ever so important in this Missouri Valley Conference race. The Racers hold serve at home and get a big bounce-back win after the performance at Belmont earlier this week. So the Racers now 6-4 in a tie for fourth in the Missouri Valley behind Southern Illinois, Belmont, and Northern Iowa. And when we went through the thought exercises yesterday, one of them was, you know, if they fade out of the race, then maybe do we adjust playing rotations and such. Well, whatever validity that thought exercise may have, it is irrelevant at this point because the Racers are still very much in the race. Halfway home, tied for fourth, a five-way tie for fourth. A lot of work to go. But a really nice win last night against now an Indiana State team. It's a little bit of a free fall. Remember, they got out to a 6-0 start. They are now 6-4. The one thing that you notice looking at the top teams there in the Missouri Valley, they all went at home. Southern Illinois, 9-1. Belmont, 8-1. Drake, 9-1. Bradley, 10-1. Murray State, 7-1. Northern Iowa, 7-4. Missouri State, 6-3. Indiana State, 7-3. All really good winning records for those first three, or the last three. But for the first five, I mean, you're just elite at home. And that is what it is going to ultimately take to be able to, you know, finish this thing off and finish as high as you can in the league, is you've got to be able to hold serve at home. And the Racers did that yesterday. The news, which has kind of been the news of the week, of course, about Kenny White. Not in uniform, but he was on the bench in street clothes. And, you know, from a TV perspective, watching him, he was everything you would want him to be as a teammate, up, cheering, supportive, everything you'd want. We'll hear from Steve Prohm about Kenny here. His post-game thoughts on Kenny coming up in a little bit. But I thought this would, you know, when this game started, it's like, all right. So much about college basketball is emotion. And you can tell when, you know, sometimes teams are flat, sometimes teams are amped up, and things can go sideways or awesome just on those bursts of emotion. And it's not necessarily a 40 minutes thing, but it's certainly, you expect teams to have good starts of halves and such with, you know, coming out of a week of practice or coming out of, hey, coach just lit us up at halftime, we're going to come out and we're going to play well. And we've seen with this team this year, there have been points where, moments where you're like, okay, this has set up for, we are going to see a great emotional start, and they don't always answer the bell in the way that you would think in those short bursts. And I just thought, look, they played as really poorly as they could have at Belmont for the last 30 minutes. I mean, for such a long stretch of the game, that was as poor as they played in a while. And I thought, all right, probably had Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, you know, we're a little bit desperate. But the coaches were on with all the film work and all of it, that they were on them. And it's like, we have to play better. You're at home. Students are back. National TV. Got to come out and perform at a high level. And then they have some defensive breakdowns and give up two quick threes in the first 2.5 minutes. Two quick threes for a team that doesn't shoot threes well. And here we go one more time that Steve has to call a timeout before the first media timeout. It was like, what is going on again? What is going on? And hey, while we're at it, let's just get down 10 in the first half. It was just a stunning start to me. And then, boom. Brian Moore gets an and one. Justin Morgan, a strong and one, finishing at the rim. Moore gets another and one. Moore, 19 points. Another start for him. It's been neat to watch those two specifically sort of fill into, develop as the season has gone on. How Steve Prohm would play, you know, all but six at times. And to now, I mean, last night he played seven. You know, there was no Sam Murray. Don't know why. Obviously no Kenny White. But it was like he rode with seven. And, you know, Justin Morgan had 5 points, seven rebounds. That is the thing about him this year that I have been just so impressed with is his ability. He is active. When he is in the game, he is an absolute energy boost to this team. And it's been really a massive boost when he comes off the bench. And that's part of the reason, you know, again, so we've talked about the plus minus stuff that, you know, you can take it, leave it, whatever. But for long stretches of the season, he had one of the best plus minus. Every time he was on the floor, good things happened. And many times he didn't even take a shot, especially early in the season. He would not even take it. I think it was sort of that freshman bashfulness maybe that he is certainly has worn off as the year has gone on. But it's like he would do everything but shoot, and it would be such a boost. Brian Moore has become an absolute demon getting to the basket. Not only I'm getting to the basket, I am going to finish through contact, and I'm going to go to the line and make my free throws. Time and time again last night, and one. Time and time again for the last several games, and ones. Now, there's going to be a point here where teams are going to finally be like, all right, we're playing off you because we just cannot continue to afford to let you blow by us and go score at the rim. You're going to have to make a shot. And I thought that was really a big piece last night was he made some shots. Had a little pull-up 15-footer. Goes and, you know, makes a three. Just one of three. But look, you just gotta keep him honest. And he did more than enough last night to be able to do that. I mean, he's right now at 23%. I mean, he's 4 of 17. Doesn't take a lot of them for the year. But it's like you just got to make enough to be able to keep them honest. And I think you saw just enough last night. And then, hey, remember I made that three? Awesome. Right by him. And I'm getting to the rim and going to go finish one more time. The game was sloppy early. I mean, they had 5 turnovers. Murray turned it over 5 times in the first 10 minutes, which, again, uncharacteristic. But then you look at the end, they only turned it over 8 times for the whole game. So, I mean, 5 in the first 10 minutes, 3 in the final 30. And that was one of the big things that, you know, helped them flip the script on this. Free throw line was outstanding, 28 out of 33. And that was really what helped them finish this game out. I mean, they got into the bonus with, let's see, they're into the bonus with 11 minutes left in the game. And it just felt like there were countless possessions in a row there in the second half where it was, they just kept getting fouled and going to the line. And just two out of two, which was helpful that they were scoring there because they couldn't throw it in the ocean from three. Racers 2 for 18 for the game. And I'll have to, out of just morbid curiosity, figure out the last time that they went, shot 11% from three in a game. Because I feel pretty good it's been a minute. And I say that, they were 2 for 18. Indiana State was 5 for 30. And they made two of their first, they were like 2 for 3 to start the game. So then they go 3 for 27 down the stretch. I mean, it was a rough game from a shooting standpoint. But the Racers able to force 11 turnovers, get into double figures, which has not always happened this year, and were able to, you know, Indiana State, it was just amazing. Again, for a team that is second in the country in two-point shooting percentage, that they shot 30 threes and made five. And that was all the Kavassier McCauley dude. He was 5 for 10. The rest of the team was 0 for 20. I feel like if you're Indiana State's coach at some point, it's like you just have to go run out onto the floor and tackle somebody when they're getting ready to fire. And they had open looks. Murray does a really good job. You know, this year as a whole, they've done a good job. Perimeter defense. Well, Indiana State had some shots, but the Racers, they didn't make them, any of them. Well, the Racers did give them the daylight, so they just could not take advantage. Finally saw a after that 8-for-28 performance inside on layups, the Racers 15 of 24, so definitely a better performance. Still feel like that's a lot of missed layups, but look, you don't need to pick nits after a win. 38 points in the paint. DJ Burns, 18 and 11, fourth double-double of the season. He has been, it's interesting to watch him assert himself offensively because I don't think that's ultimately his, I don't think that's option A for him. And it almost just feels like there's points where, okay, I guess I've got to do this. You can almost just tell kind of the body language that it's like, well, let's give it the old college try and see how it works. And he was really good. 7-11 from the field. Again, 4 or 5 from the free throw line for him. 5 offensive boards, extending possessions. 14 offensive rebounds led to 16 points. And that was they get the offensive rebounds and then they just make you pay. And then you turn over Indiana State 11 times, turn it into 12 points. I mean, that's 28 points accounted for there on those extra possessions that really helped swing this game. There was a lot of this game. It felt like the Belmont game in reverse in the first half where Murray got off to this great start and then just completely caved. And here it was like they got off to a terrible start and you're down 10, but then here they come. And actually got up 5 late in the first half. And then it had a bad final minute. So you go in tied at 36. And then they come out and they have another bad minute or two. And suddenly you're down 6. And it's like this 11-0 run bridging the halves together. And you're just like, again, come out of the locker room. And it's like, what is going on? But the defense felt like the defense really improved in the second half. And that was sort of the foundation of, and you look at, it's like, it's not really, let's see. I mean, they shot, Indiana State shot 46%, almost 47% in the first half. Second half shot 42. So it wasn't really huge, but, you know, they were 3 of 15 from 3. They missed a lot of free throws, too. They were 6 of 11, some front ends. But they turned it over. I mean, 7 of their 11 turnovers came in the second half, and that was really, I thought, the defense. Murray was able to play downhill and get rolling, and then they were able to close out the game. And I just remember writing down, I mean, there's 7.5 minutes to go, and it's 65-56, and they've already been in the bonus for 3.5 minutes. I was like, you just make free throws, you're going to win this game. And they just kept making free throws because they just kept going to the line, going to the line, going to the line. And it kind of bogged down a little bit. Indiana State went zone for a few possessions. I think Murray kind of started taking the air out of the ball a little. Then we got into a situation where, you know, Rob Perry, who was 0 for 9 from 3, just could not find it last night. But then especially, you know, we finally got to the free throw line. I think late in the first half, saw the ball go in, makes another jumper, and then he starts, ended up 6 of 17. He was 6 of 8 from 2. But you saw late, Indiana State went to that zone, and Rob just gets to the middle of the zone at the free throw line, where there's that open space, he's able to just turn around and just hit a little fadeaway, easy 15-footer all day. Hits one, hits two, feeling good. And now he's heat checking, and he comes down and jacks one up from 25. Most importantly, with like 20 seconds on the shot clock, and it was an air ball. And that was just, we haven't really seen heat check Rob at times, but that was as much just time and score that, then it kind of felt like, all right, it's getting, you know, they even come down, make a couple shots. Now it's suddenly a 6-point game with a couple minutes to go, and you're feeling a little bit, you know, a little bit antsy. But again, then Rob comes down, hits another bucket, gets it back up to 9, and, you know, they hit the free throws down the stretch. So I thought that was, it's just a really good win. It's a good win. It's a home win. You did what you needed to do, and now you have to get ready to go. Take on Southern Illinois on Tuesday. First place team in the Valley, tied with Belmont. And again, if you really want to legitimately contend for one of these top four, you got to steal one on the road. Maybe steal two on the road. And you got to go do it against, you know, arguably the best team in the league. I feel like you could make that argument for 5 teams right now. But, you know, they are currently on the top of the pack. A team that you could have, I don't know if I'll go so far as to say should have, but you could have beaten at home several weeks ago. But we also know this team has struggled on the road, so can they get that switch flipped? We will find out. After the game, Steve Prohm asked about Kenny White and sort of the week that has been, and I thought this was as, this answer was perfect. This answer was perfect. Here's Steve Brown.
For one thing, I talk to these guys, it's our goal to make them better husbands and fathers and men, you know, when they leave here. And right now I'm trying to really help Kenny build his foundation. And obviously he made a major mistake. But you know, hopefully we can use this as a learning tool. I want to be there for him. Obviously there's things he's going to have to do, to be a part of this program and the way he's got to handle himself. But, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we want to build men here. That's what our job is. It's to help these young men and or help them become men. These young student athletes, young men, young adults become men. And if we can do that, then we're doing a really good job. They're not going to be perfect. You know, I've had a lot of different situations at all different places with different kids as assistants and head coaches. this ain't the worst, and this ain't the easiest one to deal with. So it's part of it. You're dealing with 18, 21-year-old kids, but you know, I want to be a father figure for him. I want to be able to help him and guide him, and you know, love on him, love him over here for him. But within that, obviously, he's got to make changes, and he understands that.
I thought it's perfect. You know, for the people with the pitchforks, again, he made a mistake. But we're going to hug him. We're going to love on him. He didn't get away with anything. You know, it's like for the people that need their pound of flesh, as Steve alluded to, you know, he's got some stuff he's got to do. We don't know what that stuff is. It's not important. He will pay his penance, but he will be embraced by the program. And, you know, from that, I feel like he'll be back. I feel like he'll be back. It's just a matter of just when. That's all. And so we will just wait. But the next opportunity for the Racers on the floor, it will be on Tuesday night as they head to Carbondale to take on Southern Illinois, as SIU gets a good road win at Missouri State. So again, as we look at the standings, it's SIU and Belmont at 8-2, Northern Iowa at 7-3, and then a five-way tie for fourth: Murray State, Drake, Bradley, Missouri State, Indiana State. And that four seed is so important because, again, the top four seeds earn first-round buys in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. But we are still a long ways away. 5 weeks left, 10 games left. We'll see where the Racers shake out when it comes. But as for one night, they are 11-9. They are 6-4 in the conference after a nice win on national TV yesterday. Let me just check one more thing to see if there's anything that I missed. I think that's about it. Brian Moore, 19. Rob Perry, 18. DJ Burns, 18. Jamari Smith, 12. You get four guys in double figures, should be able to get a win at home. And indeed they did, as the Racers 82-73 take down Indiana State. All right, in case you missed yesterday's podcast, I will be out of pocket for the next couple of days, so no preview podcast for the SIU game on Tuesday, but we'll be back on Wednesday with the Ride Home edition after the Racers hopefully able to go on the road and get a road win there over the Salukis. Thanks for listening to the Murray State Basketball Podcast, the Ride Home edition, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you find us. Subscribe, leave us a comment. We'd appreciate it. Have a great rest of your weekend. Fly, Eagles, fly. We will talk to you soon.